Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, this weekend, a lot of people are going to be getting on with Christmas preparations, whether it's buying presents or planning the meal or putting up the tree, decorating the house, etc. Have you ever thought about how much the rituals around Christmas, even the simple act of buying a Christmas jumper, can impact on the environment? Maybe you have thought about this and you want to know how to do things a little differently. Well, Dr. Tara Shine is an environmental scientist and the author of How to Save Your Planet, One Object at a Time. And she's here now to talk about what we can do to make our Christmas more sustainable, or planet friendly, I suppose is the word I could use as well. So Tara, thank you very much for being with us on the programme today. How hard on the environment is the season of Christmas? I mean, what impact does it have globally, the environmental cost of Christmas?
Yeah, so it's significant. How are you doing, Dave? Because it tends to be a time when we consume a lot of stuff. So the more we consume, the more impact we have. You know, in Christmas last year alone in Ireland, we created 81,000 tons of just packaging waste. You can add to that food waste because we've overshopped for the food for Christmas. But then on the other hand, look at Christmas. I mean, it's a time to be with family and friends. It's a time to take a rest, to get outdoors. And those things cost nothing and have no impact on the environment, or next to none. So it's really about how you do Christmas.
Okay, well, I can give you a statistic here. Christmas 2020, it led to 81,000 tons of packaging waste in Ireland. I mean, it's hard to know what is truly eco-friendly when it comes to buying at Christmas. So one term, explain me to this one here, greenwashing and how to avoid it. What's that exactly?
So greenwashing is when companies say that they are being sustainable, but they're not really making any significant changes in the way they operate to be more sustainable. So don't be fooled by words. Always look for evidence. We always say, like, look for the show, not just the tell. So do a bit of research, you know, and look behind the words and see if you can find evidence that companies that are claiming to be green actually are.
Okay, look, I don't know if you saw the report about the news articles recently about the huge textile dumps in Chile. And there were Christmas jumpers in the piles of discarded clothes. I think they all belong to Ryan. Anyway, what about buying Christmas jumpers? Should you just, you know, give it a skip? I don't know.
So, you know, most Christmas jumpers are cheap and cheerful. They're made out of plastic, essentially. They're made out of polyester and nylon and acrylic. They're designed to be, you know, worn a couple of times and thrown away. But even, you know, throwing them away means we're throwing away plastic. It takes hundreds and hundreds of years to break down. Washing them, each time we wash them, we release microplastics into the environment that causes pollution in our waterways and in our marine environment. So, with Christmas jumpers, it's like, could we just try and buy fewer of them? Can we pass them down, swap them down with your cousins, pass them to your friends, pass them on to a secondhand shop? If you really need one for, a school Christmas jumper day, go look in a secondhand shop. They're there and use them again. And then for us adults where, you know, we're not growing out of them, maybe buy yourself one good wool Christmas jumper in a colour you like, and just keep it. You only wear it a few days a year anyway.
Okay, well, like, they are treated as a bit of fun, but actually Christmas jumpers have contributed to the pollution generated by the fast fashion industry. So do you think the message is getting through to people, or do you despair when you see reports like I mentioned, recent ones of textile dumps in South America full of clothes from Europe?
Yeah, so I think advertising is persuasive in this sense. And so we see this advertising, we're all supposed to buy every year new Christmas pajamas and all be matching, and everybody in the family is supposed to have a Christmas jumper. But why? We never did that before. It's not a tradition as such. It's something new. It's something to get us to consume. And all of those Christmas jumpers, because, again, they're made from synthetic fabrics, they're made out of oil. So they're not just causing waste. They're actually contributing to climate change as well. So look, here, I'm not here to knock the fun out of your Christmas, but we don't need to buy new Christmas jumpers every year. And definitely for kids, like, just pass them down and swap them.
All right, well, look, getting back to Christmas in terms of the house, here's the question. A real cut tree or an artificial tree or a tree in a pot? Which should we plump for?
So the number one is a tree in a pot. My tree, I have just carried it in from the back garden for year number 6. So A, saves me money. 2, it's out there removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere all year long and clearing it away.
Do you grow Christmas trees in your back garden?
No, I have one in a pot. Right. I got it from a Christmas tree farm. No, I don't. I live in a town. But I got it from a Christmas tree farm, and instead of cutting it, I got it in a pot, and it sits outside. and I bring it in each year. So that's number one. Right. Number two option is definitely a real tree. A real tree has a much lower carbon footprint than an artificial tree. In fact, you would need to reuse your artificial tree at least 20 times before it could match the carbon footprint of a real tree. And again, synthetic trees tend to be made in China and elsewhere. Locally grown trees are giving local employment. They're a much better idea.
Okay. Any way you can still give gifts and be sustainable? I mean, you know, this thing of the experience gifts, like tickets for an event, or like an awful lot of gigs are mentioned in November and December. So hopefully for the promoters, people will buy tickets for that gig, even if the gig is, you know, 12 months away kind of thing. Tickets for an event, ticket for classes, tickets for a day out. That's a good one, is it?
I love that. I mean, I've done that with my family sometimes, like, a day out at a cookery day out with my mom. We get to spend time together. I don't know about you, but time is my most scarce commodity and my most precious commodity. So if I can find ways to give gifts that allow me to spend time with my nearest and dearest and my loved ones and my friends that I don't see enough, it's just a fantastic thing. And you know, better than another gigor that you didn't need. And like, learning new skills is good. So like, cooking is a great skill to learn, because then you waste less food, you're able to make more different things out of the, you know, funky four or five ingredients that are left in your fridge. Learn how to repair things, learn how to grow stuff. All of those are really great skills, and there's nice gifts out there and experiences associated with those.
Okay, but if you want to give a gift and not an experience, what's the best approach?
Something somebody will use and keep and have for years. Okay. So actually something that they need.
Well, then I presume you hate the idea of Secret Santa or this Kris Kringle stuff, you know, like, would you like to see those traditions gone for good?
Yeah, these are new traditions for us anyway in Ireland. I kind of think it depends on how you use it. With my husband's family, we do Secret Santa so that each adult just has to buy one other adult a present. So we're not forced into trying to buy for everybody. So it actually reduces the number of gifts. So I think done like that is a really good idea. But I think, you know, if you're doing a Kris Kindle with friends in work, it can be that everybody has to make something. So it could be that Kris Kindles are all edible gifts or something that's made or swapped or passed on. That's possible too. But yeah, it depends on how you interpret. I think there's lots of different rules and interpretations of Secret Santa.
All right, well then let's take one of the biggest presents of the last bunch of years, and it'll be the same again this year, phones. I mean, they're big at this time of the year, obviously, in terms of people getting them and receiving them, etc. So how much does phone production impact on the environment?
Lots, basically. Number one, they're made of all kinds of precious metals like cobalt. Cobalt's mined in the Democratic Republic of Congo in conditions that are very, very dangerous for the very young boys and girls and men and women that work there. And they also cause a lot of environmental damage. So there's that. And then there's the energy used to make a mobile phone. So the energy used to make a mobile phone produces 60 kilograms of carbon dioxide. But then to charge it for a year is twice that. That's 122 kilograms of carbon dioxide. So that's enough to drive a car for almost 5,000 kilometers.
Okay, but so, well, we're talking
making phones has a big impact.
Yeah, of course. So we're talking sustainable, we're talking eco-friendly here. So what about decorations? Is there an eco-friendly route that we can take to decorate the house?
Absolutely. Don't go for a new theme every year would be number one message. And then go for decorations, including like decorations on your tree that are memories. So when I put up my tree, I remember almost where I got every decoration from. Some of them are decorations from my granny's tree. They're ones my mom has given to me. They're ones I've picked up on trips because I always went to climate change summits like COPs in December. So they all have stories to tell. And I'm happy to put the same ones back out every year. I don't feel any need to change them. And again, get your kids involved. Maybe they can help make things, you know, and hang on to them. The decorations should be about memories, not just about, you know, the newest, shiniest thing.
Do you know, in the West, there seems to be an awful lot. I mean, the Western part of the world, I mean, not the West of Ireland necessarily, but in the West, like, there seems to be an awful lot more waste of food over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years than there used to be. So I presume when it comes to Christmas, there's a hell of a lot of food wastage at Christmas. So, like, what's the scene on that?
Yeah, apparently Irish shoppers waste 50% more food during Christmas week than at any other time in the rest of the year. So it's really important, I think, just to plan better. And households throw out about 1.5 billion euros worth of food annually in Ireland. And in the festive season, that adds up to, you know, around 42 million that we're just throwing away of this food that we work so hard to earn the money to buy, that we want to pour love into to make the nicest possible dinner on the day. So don't waste it.
Okay, well, a 4 or 5 step program then. How can we reduce waste or stop negatively impacting the environment at Christmas time?
Make a plan. So if you know you're only home on Christmas Day and Stephen's Day, and then you're going traveling to see family and friends, bear in mind you're only shopping for 2 days. You're not even doing your weekly shop. You're just shopping for 2 days. Don't fall for all those promos as you walk into the supermarket and the 2-for-1s and the 3-for-1s. Just buy what you need. So make a plan, menu plan, and stick to that. You'll also save yourself money, which will be great. Then use your freezer. So put things that are left over that you can't use in the next 2 days into your freezer. So use it, have some nice treats left in there, or some easy dinners for when we're all back at work. And get creative with the leftovers. You know, there's so much. The leftovers are nearly the best part of Christmas. So, you know, if you don't know what to do with them, just Google it. Throw the 3 random things you have into Google and see what recipes it throws up for you. And I'd say, you know, if you can, support local. Get the best quality local food you can, and then use every scrap of it.
Okay, well then finally, by the way, we're talking to Dr. Tara Shine, who's an environmental scientist and the author of How to Save Your Planet, One Object at a Time. You've been working in the area of environmental protection for 20 years now. Do you think the real change, and this is the question people are always asking, especially after those big sort of things that happen where they all come from around the world and then they go home. Do you think real change is happening, or is it still just lip service to the idea of stopping climate change?
No, we're changing, not fast enough, certainly. But, you know, I see that the conversations that we're having in Ireland, we're having way more of them about climate change, about waste, about biodiversity, the quality of our water. So more people care and more people are interested and more people support change. So what we need now is we need an upswell of demand from our citizens in order to give that license of bravery and really strong leadership to our politicians to take the monumental steps they're going to have to take in the next decade to keep us all safe.
Okay, well, Tara, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on the programme today. That's Dr. Tara Shine, the author of How to Save Your Planet, One Object at a Time. Thanks, Tara. See you. Good luck.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.